This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
I'll say again. Anyway, moving on. Highs today are 4 degrees centigrade, lows of 2 degrees centigrade. It's going to be a dry and mostly cloudy day, but it'll still be feeling chilly. Well, it is February, isn't it, Natalie Tuck?
Yes, it's so cold, isn't it? I can't wait for March.
So the question that is obviously on the lips of most of our regular listeners has to be, how are you getting on with the New Zealand flatmate? Because I mean,
yes,
you know,
well, yeah.
So
it was, hold on, let me get this right. Last Friday,
yes,
was Waitangi Day, which is New Zealand's National Day. And so we watched The World's Fastest Indian, classic Kiwi film.
Very good, yes.
and had Anzac biscuits as well.
Those are my favourite. Have you ever watched Whale Rider?
No, I haven't.
I'd definitely recommend that. Yes, definitely.
Right, okay. Well, okay.
Clearly lined up for 2016 then, obviously. Whale Rider. Yeah, so it's obviously, just checking there because Jessica's clearly our kind of New Zealand authority.
Yeah, she
would know from that point of view. And it's good to see that you've had a full recovery, almost, at least always back to it. You haven't been passing out on the underground or having to be helped back by old ladies or elderly. Nobody's old. Senior citizens. Nobody's senior citizens. Chronologically gifted, whatever. Anyway, folk to all sorts of things.
No, yeah, I'm pretty much there.
Good,
yeah.
Good, excellent stuff. So it's Jared's second show, and he's an Arsenal supporter. I know Natalie secretly, although you claim your family are the other side of Manchester, I'm clearly a Man City fan, and we both won last night, so, you know, I suppose. But I can't believe that you're in third position, though, but still, never mind. Life continues. But have you any thoughts or advice for Jared as he's now, like Jessica, actually, almost halfway through the second term of six terms that he does as an undergraduate reading journalism at the University of Lincoln?
Sounds so scary.
Oh, wow. So first year, Jared.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah?
He did speak to a graduate who now runs IRN News, I believe.
Mm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know the name?
Dave, having an Ed Balls first, moment, but, yeah, I think.
First rule of thumb, when you speak to people in networking, always remember the name. I think Natalie would say basic
line. I've got his business card.
Well, there we are. Anyway, carry on, Natalie. Sorry, it's your interview.
How are you finding it?
I absolutely love it. I really do. Shorthand's a bit of a problem, as we discussed last week on the show. But apart from that, loving radio, loving TV, and the writing as well. It's just really enjoyable.
And which two practical modules do you think have you chosen, or do you think
we've got a talk?
Yeah, we've got a lecture coming up soon.
A couple of weeks, and then we choose next month. But I'm sort of leaning towards online and TV, and then there's a lot of facilities on
Natalie,
campus.
Natalie is your go-to girl when it comes to online. I mean, her online reporting in vision pieces, superb, really.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Online, I do. I mean, I work in online media at the moment.
In fact, the jingle basically is Natalie print. Tuck, online, she's on everything. Sorry. I just thought, it's a thought, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, online is definitely, you know, a very good skill to have. But in terms of, I remember I actually did online in my second year, and it's quite, I remember that I couldn't get my head around the software. So when I started my job, I was quite nervous about, you know, having to put articles online. But the software that we use at work is a lot simpler.
Are you at university? Are you a rigorous blogger, Natalie?
No, do you know, I don't actually blog. I've never blogged. And
hasn't done you any harm, has it,
really?
That's why you're working as an online journalist. Makes perfect sense.
I don't blog. I've tried. I had to blog at university, and I didn't really enjoy it. I find blogging a bit too self-centred, in a way. That's my personal opinion. And I like to report news, and blogging's not really about reporting news, so just my personal preference.
Not an opinion, so that's what you've got. Your own opinion, but your professional have to keep them to one side.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly.
I have to give a little name check, because last night we actually had a visitation, a return to the studios briefly by Hannah O'Brien, who remembers, of course, the bake-offs, etc. She's set up her own blog now called cherriesontop.blog.com.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's all about baking. So she obviously learnt a lot from you, Natalie, even though, as we agree, you were robbed in the bake-off.
But I did win it. You know,
exactly.
The Mayathon.
It did, indeed. Or Myathon, whatever. It's just
Myathon. Sorry, Mayathon.
It was 2012. You know, Jared and Jessica don't know about the Myathon that we actually. We saved the world, guys. You know, basically, Natalie and myself.
We did.
25 hours non stop broadcasting from the studio. Saved the world. Wow. And a cake off. It's fantastic.
Cake off.
Yeah, I think we will. Cake off, bake off, one of those things. I don't know if you received from Richard Fitzwilliams, who's obviously up next, Natalie, his views on the BAFTAs and so on. Boyhood, very much he was convinced that was a definite yes for that point of view. Julianne Moore was up for Best Actress. And it would seem that as far as the Academy Awards are concerned, it looks as though it's a shoo-in now that it will be Boyhood, because there's only been 7 occasions since 1947 when the winner of the Directors Guild Association or Guild Awards for Best Picture has not won for Best Director at the Oscars. So it's looking as though that's going to be a win for Richard Linklater and Boyhood. Well,
it does seem this year that, you know, all the awards have gone with the same winners, doesn't it? You know, there's not been any, you know.
You don't want to hear what Richard was saying about Meryl Streep's chances last week. Oh, it was harsh. And, no chance.
Well, she has got no chance, has she? So, you know, and I'm rooting for Julianne Moore. I haven't seen, the film. Oh, she's not in the same category, actually. But no, I'm rooting for Julianne Moore for Best Actress. And then Patricia Arquette. I haven't seen the film yet again, but I do think she's a wonderful actress. So.
In Boyhood. Now, will you be having the Academy Award party, Natalie? Academy Award parties have become legendary over the years, but obviously they used to be in Yorkshire. Now, of course, you've moved down to the great metropolis. Lincolnshire as well.
They used to be when I was a university student and didn't have to get up the next morning. But no, I don't think I will be, because, you know, work calls.
Jessica, will you be hosting an Academy Award party? Award Towers?
Might do. Might do.
It's away.
We'll see.
Jared, are you considered to do this
No.
One? No. Oh, well, life continues. So moving on, and as ever, we're delighted, Natalie, to give you the chance to name-check your flatmates in person so they can never say that Natalie Tuck, she does all our media stuff, she never mentions us at all, even though we introduce her to New Zealand Day and more. So quick name-check for them all, please, Natalie.
Okay, yep. So we've got my Kiwi flatmate, which is
Every Hayley. Every home should have one, basically.
And we've also got a lovely Australian called Andrew.
Like, do they actually get on, or is it like cat and dog?
Yeah, they
Jessica
get
is
on,
shocked.
You know,
her jaw has dropped at that moment.
What?
An Australian and a Kiwi
in
the same
harmony.
House.
What?
I know, right?
It's the end of the world, Natalie. It's a sign.
Yeah. And then moving on, we have such a colourful mix of accents in this house. We have Catherine, who's from Northern Ireland.
Oh, hey, nice touch there, Natalie. Yeah, I'm very impressed. Yeah, that was better than my accent.
And then we have Hannah, who's from Felixstowe, so she speaks very proper.
That's not what I've heard about the girls from Felixstowe, but I won't go in there. No, it's just rumours. Oh, look at the time. It's 11 minutes past 8 a.m. in the morning. We need to actually sort of work our way through the whole process. So there we are. Name checks. And as we've said before, it's a bit like Friends, really. I have one sofa. It's great stuff. It's marvellous. You know, they'll be singing the Rembrandts in every sense of the word. We're going to move into Diana Upton Hill, because Diana made her debut on the show last night. She did ask, actually, Jessica, where were you yesterday?
Bless.
Other things, because Natalie, you love this—the actual text that was sent through. It's so good. I thought it's worth making this one public, really, because it's fantastic. It's sent to me sort of yesterday. Whilst I was actually in a meeting that was sort of going on and on, I said, "Hi, Alex. I won't be attending today, as I will not be having a break between 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. I shall see you tomorrow morning."
Oh, Alex, stop it!
not a break between. It's a tough life being an undergraduate, Natalie, isn't it? Really. there. Not a break.
It really is. Gosh, no break, eh?
Never mind.
Crikey.
It's okay. You are here. You're bright and sparky. It's all good stuff. So,
no, yeah. Well done for making it up for eight. Well, you know,
thank
that's
you.
Commendable.
You look at the positive side of things. It's always important. And you get the chance to ask Natalie those last two questions. So there we go.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Yes, as always.
And
good start to the morning.
And will we be hearing from you in the future?
I'm sure you will, yes.
Yeah. Well, I think we'd make it a regular fortnightly slot, actually. And next week we have another one of the Contemporary Culture and Communications graduates. That'll be Heather McCrory, who'll be joining us. Of course, a good friend of Amy Elise. But
Amy.
Yeah, exactly, who, of course, did the business her term. And Heather could be going into the teaching profession. I know, it's a shocker, but still, there you are. That's life as a graduate from the University of Lincoln. Diana Upton Hill and Do Love Well, still not released. Released probably around about middle of March, I believe. She said herself, if you want to actually listen to Diana Upton Hill, check out the podcast. It's available via southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. And you can also hear a whole stack of
international who's who to CNN, from film criticism to royalty. From South Africa to London, and now to the midweek drive on Siren FM, it's Richard Fitzwilliams.
I'm not sure whether a whole stack of Richard Fitzwilliams is necessarily the way forward, but, you know, you've got a whole range of podcasts there that you can peruse at your leisure and effectively fill a good 24 hours, actually, Richard, which can't be bad, really, if you're sort of at a loose end and you fancy listening to all your sort of previous podcast contributions to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Good morning, by the way.
Well, they, I mean, there could be worse fates, I suppose.
Exactly so. So, my theory for Eddie Redmayne, see what we did there, theory of Eddie Redmayne, is it wasn't so much for Theory of Everything, but it was clearly his unbelievable performance in Jupiter Rising, with his whispering tendency to do that, which actually really tipped the balance. I know that Jupiter Rising wasn't sort of considered for the awards, but I think that's probably what actually sort of led the way to him actually receiving Best Actor for Theory of Everything. You may wish to disagree with me, Richard. I don't know, but it's just a thought.
I would prefer to eliminate memories of anything to do with this absolutely terrible film by the Wachowskis.
Oh, come now. Come now.
Yeah, no, but it really was.
Now, we had a very lucid reflection on the piece from Richard Edwards, the editor-in-chief of SFX magazine, last night. And even it had to be said that Phil Lynn has kind of acknowledged that no matter what you say about the Wachowskis, you cannot say that ever since the 1997 Matrix, their work has been anything less than interesting. Although, to be fair, Speed Racer was actually raised by Phil as probably one of the areas that wasn't necessarily as interesting as perhaps it might have been.
Intellectualizing it, let me point out.
Is that a bad
Eddie
thing?
Redmayne was absolutely dire in it, and I have to say,
he did this sort of wonderful whispering thing.
I'm a big fire fan of Mila Kunis, so you remember her in Black Swan.
Yes,
I mean, there were scenes there that indelibly.
And you got Channing Tatum. You know, what's not to appreciate about, you know, the fabulous Jupiter Rising, which you hadn't really sort of commented on at all, really. So I just give it a chance, Richard. Give it a chance. Let it breathe.
Yes, I would. The one star.
Well, okay. You like the frocks.
I would give more to the BAFTAs.
They're
on firmer ground. I mean, the Theory of Everything was exceptionally good, of course. Everyone's recognised this. I think I would make the point that I do think it was made. We have to bear in mind, of course, and it was such a joy to see Professor Hawking at the BAFTAs, and also to know that, based on the book, his wife was also there, I understand, and these were, obviously, since they were still alive, there were sensitivities, aspects of the film were a little contrived, and I did feel there were certain shots noted for their Englishness that obviously would appeal to audiences abroad. But a very fine film, a superlative performance by Eddie Redmayne. I mean, no question, he's absolutely brilliant. Of course he won, and I expected him to win. It was an evening that I thought we did extremely well. We couldn't get all the directors because of the Directors Guild Awards in Hollywood, but we got everybody else. Tom Cruise, even, and David Beckham.
Now, you see, Tom Cruise, fine. But David Beckham presenting awards at BAFTA, please. You know, I'm sorry, maybe my Manchester City bias is coming across here, or indeed anti-Real Madrid bias, etc. But even our Arsenal supporting Jared Johnson is choking, literally, you could hear him in the studio, choking off microphone there at the sheer shock of David Beckham actually being there, yeah, presenting BAFTA
see,
awards.
When we
Goodness
remember
sakes.
What David Beckham has done for Britain, now this happens.
Yes, what has he done for Britain?
You mentioned it, and you must let me answer it. All those caps for England, the one thing, the merchandise, another thing, the Olympic Games, the way he champions Britain abroad. I mean, it's it is absolutely fantastic. And the one person has done, if you look at his entire career, what he has, I can't understand. So perhaps you can tell me why he hasn't had a knighthood, because he got an OBE in 2003. It's a long time ago now.
Look, why not just cut the garbage and actually make it Lord David and Lady Victoria? Why don't you invite, why not invite Catherine and Will to actually step aside and just sort of, you know, have a change in accession? Let's go that way. Goodness sakes.
Well, I mean, these are all ideas that could seriously be considered by the College of Arms, the Act of Succession.
The frightening thing is, it might be still. Yeah. We'll probably ask.
There we have it. I mean, the point with David Beckham, I think, that he is sufficiently, and I do use this word very, very rarely, iconic, to merit, I believe, a round of applause whenever he appears.
Richard, the fact that he causes a sharp intake of breath year in, year out with the Level 1 journalist when I do the reporting continuity and change session on symbiosis and sport, and we have an image of David Beckham wearing nothing but a set of Speedos. It's just not going to happen. You know, Jessica, you're still having therapy, I believe. For that.
Yes.
Exactly.
As am I.
I'm haunted.
What about the Olympic Games? Don't you think he played a very, very substantial part in bringing it to Britain?
I think Sebastian Coe might have one or two things to say about that, perhaps.
Who would this person be? I agree, Sebastian Coe did a lot. Of course he did.
And maybe even Tony Blair. Though I never thought I'd actually be saying that. Let's let it lie. Let's just go there. You like the frocks that Reese Witherspoon, Lee Sedoux, and Amy Adams were wearing?
Lee Sedoux had that lovely canary yellow, didn't you think?
It was splendid. It was really
I'm glad we agree on Reese Witherspoon in McQueen, purple. Lovely, didn't you? You agree?
If I had a choice, that would be my obviously show designed for each one of these Midweek Drive Morning Editions. But as I made a confession last night to a sartorial choice, I'm not going to go there. But still, I have to listen back, Jessica, to find out that revelation. It's with Sally Geeson, who's a good fairy. And Amy Adams, well, she always has impeccable taste.
And quite a kick-off by Kasabian, I have to say, all those lines.
Really? That's a bit raucous for yourself, Kasabian?
No. I thought it worked. Stephen Fry. When Stephen Fry is funny, he's very, very funny. It isn't all the time, and there were certain jokes that were a bit off-key, but yes, he may have managed for 10 years to project, some say, his personality. There's a lot of that, but no doubt that we do have a lot of wit there, and I enjoyed most of his contribution. I have to say that they were somewhat remiss. Bob Hoskins should have had, in the obituary tribute, as should Donald Sinden, but his place, I mean, Hoskins apparently was in last year's television tribute. There's been a lot of fuss about this, but apart from that, I mean, an evening where you could predict pretty well every single award, and that is the way it went, as it was expected to. Boyhood, interesting that Boyhood won, because in Hollywood, the Directors Guild Awards were keeping Birdman's hopes alive, and we had the Producers Guild Awards and the Screen Actors Guild Awards, and Birdman has won. So that's the one piece of excitement as we go forward towards the Oscars. We're not entirely and absolutely sure, but I think it's going to be Boyhood. We knew it would be Eddie Redmayne, obviously, as Best Actor, and I mean Julianne Moore. When you have a chance of seeing Still Alice, you will be deeply moved by her performance as a professor who has Alzheimer's. J.K. Simmons in Whiplash as a sadistic teacher. There could be no other. Patricia Arquette in Boyhood, also a supporting actress. I mean, There was no doubt it was going. She was going to win. And Ida from Poland, a powerful movie. Jack O'Connell in the Rising Star Award, voted by members of the public. I mean, I knew he'd win because he's been in three films, and in every one of them he'd been maltreated in Starred Up, in Unbroken, and in 71. And I would have loved Gugu and Bartholomew Raw to have had a chance, but Bell is superb in that, but just one, and O'Connell's three gave it to him. And some colourful Hollywood A-listers, Steve Carell, Ethan Hawke.
I gather you enjoyed it, but we've just had a look at a photograph. You forgot to mention, of course, Monica Bellucci, who is featured with a fantastic duo with Lisa Du. One, of course, wearing black, that's Monica, and as you rightly said, the canary yellow wearing Lisa Du. So, I mean, Jessica, do you think you probably sort of use that as what, next week's appearance, do you think, the sort of outfit there?
Well, I've never really been into dresses, but they're nice. I actually really like that canary one, canary yellow
there
one.
We are. Canary,
and I wouldn't wear it though, to be honest with you.
Jared, would you consider that as a possible getting in touch with your, you know?
I don't know about the colour for me.
One would look dashing on you.
Surely it's the Arsenal away strip, isn't it? Anyway, let's move on. I think we'll say that's it for the BAFTAs, because obviously the Academy Awards are coming up very, very soon, and I know you'll be wanting to talk at length about that as well, Richard.
Will, but Selma, I mean, this is a movie that packs the punch it should, and that's a movie for just released. It's been extraordinarily well made. I mean, Ava DuVernay is one of those rare people, a black female director in Hollywood. There are not many, and it was expected she'd be nominated for Best Director, which she wasn't for this remarkable movie. And David Yelowo, an absolutely amazing performance as Martin Luther King. I mean, this is the famous story of the civil rights campaign and the marches, a march between Selma and Montgomery in 1965. This was the fight to register black voters in the United States. Worthwhile just mentioning, and it sounds only 50 years ago, and it is extraordinary. In Selma, Alabama, the majority population were black, but only 1% could vote. I mean, the restrictions, as we see Annie Lou Cooper, played by Oprah Winfrey, and we see the way she is able to recite the part of the Constitution and so forth and answer certain questions, and then they ask her questions that she simply couldn't answer, so they prevent any black voting rights. No question at all that this was a film that was extremely well made. So you see scenes of violence, like Dr. Martin Luther King's, of course, his campaign of non-violence to enable blacks to vote. This is obstructed, you could say, by President Lyndon Johnson, played by Tom Wilkinson, who has other priorities. Now, this, I think, is very controversial, because the way Johnson was portrayed, Wilkinson is superb, by the way, a pretty brutal, very pragmatic politician who has the character, force, and presence that Johnson undoubtedly did. There is the case that the film appears to have misrepresented Johnson's role in this, and I think it's cost it dear at the Oscars. Having said that, it's terrific drama, and Wilkinson is excellent as well. Johnson even suggests to Herbert Hoover, the monstrous head of the FBI, that he monitor King and cause problems in a marriage that has its ups and downs, to put it mildly. And it's fascinating in this movie that all the major characters are played by British actors. I mean, here you have David Yellowo playing Martin Luther King, Tom Wilkinson playing President Johnson, Coretta Scott King is played by Carmen Ejogo, and the racist governor of Alabama, played by Tim Roth, who can be a very nasty villain indeed. Wallace attempts to, the Governor Wallace of Alabama attempts to obstruct the march, and they use brutal violence. And a lot of this film, it's not just the obvious scenes of protest, gospel music and the like that you'd expect. One of the reasons that it's such a fascinating film is that it concentrates on King's tactics. how actually you organise a protest moment, a movement. It's not just that, that it is undoubtedly just. It is the fact that he intends it to succeed. The more brutal the opposition, the more likely it is to succeed, because, of course, Americans on their television screens, not to mention the wider world, were absolutely appalled by the shocking scenes of violence that are so graphically depicted here. A mention ought to be given to the photography, which really does have an impact. So this is a movie that ought to be seen, and I've mentioned it alongside Lincoln, 12 Years a Slave, and A Long Walk to Freedom, which really...
I'm sure that Dr. Martin Luther King would have said, I have a dream that someday all of us will be played by British actors, Daniel Day-Lewis as Abraham Lincoln, and of course the aforementioned ones, because that's something wonderful. I think it's all part of a grand plan to take back the colonies. I realise
as the main role in 12 Years a Slave.
Yes.
So, in fact, recolonisation culturally.
Exactly. There we are, you see. Just keep it quiet for the moment, you know. Start off with the Americas, those 13 colonies that decided to declare independence. They'll come back and then gradually move on to New Zealand, etc. All part of a grand scheme.
It's an impressive film. I do advise everyone to see it because it's extremely good cinema. And as I say, it's dramatic, it's tense. Even if you know the result, it is sufficiently well made to keep you on tenterhooks.
We've been watching the trailer whilst you've been talking. Not that we're bored, of course, with your good self, Richard, but it's just we thought, well, why not? It's a wonderful sort of multimedia, multi-platform experience from that point of view. Jessica, from what you've seen, what you've heard, is this one that you're going to put on your list of must-see movies?
Oh, definitely. I think it's about time they've made a film about Martin Luther King. And I think the casting is actually... It's quite well done. I was surprised to see Oprah Winfrey, just because I haven't seen her in absolute years. But I think they've tried to stay true to it.
And she's not British, of course, Oprah.
Yeah, exactly. She's actually American.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But, of course, we have to give a little name check for the superlative King, the musical, which actually starred one of our fine folks, Shane Rimmer, back in the 1980s. Probably you don't remember the time when there was a musical made about the life of Martin Luther King. They said it wasn't possible, but it actually wasn't too bad. Sadly, it didn't do that well in the box office, which is why they haven't made a motion picture of Martin Luther King as a musical. But maybe Selma, the musical, could be something we could look towards. I can see Richard now thinking, it's bad enough going with Eddie Redmayne as a solid performer in Jupiter Rising.
I would put to you that keep reminding everyone of this fearsome whisper in the film that says.
Well, you appreciated the character of Bane in the Christopher Nolan Batman series, so I thought you'd love the whispering scenario that comes.
Yes, my view of Bane is unprintable and unreadable, and that's well. And Jupiter Ascending was just terrible, and the Wachowskis, frankly, have made something that's boring, dreary, and the action scene, let's be frank about this, the action scene in that movie are dire, absolutely dire.
Please, you've got a lycanthrope, you've got a vampire, you've got all sorts of other areas that are actually within that, and you've got a toilet cleaner. What more can you actually ask for? Mila Kunis, cleaning loos.
That I'm afraid, is where the movie could have gone down, and then you get, the answer is you get The Interview, which is a movie I want to come to because of the extraordinary fuss.
Bit of controversy do you think, perhaps?
I mean, obviously the revenge hacking by North Korea of Sony Pictures' emails, which has in fact brought down the...
Let's face it, it's enabled Spider-Man to actually rejoin the Avengers, so there's always some good that comes out of the whole system.
Well, the question raised by making this movie, how do you get at an evil regime? The answer is be crude, be unsubtle, but you keep the jokes coming, and however filthy, however scatological, I have to say I was weak with laughter at the end of the film. I have to be frank. I mean, the movie works because there's a lot to laugh at. Well, in fact, you're laughing at a regime that starves its own people and is one of the world's worst. James Franco plays Dave Skylark, Seth Rogen, his producer, Aaron Rappaport, and they're celebrating Skylark Tonight's 1,000 episodes. It's a dreadful television show. It's really about the worst dumbing down you can get, and they discover North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is a fan. So the producer arranges an interview with by means of Song Yung Pak, who's the North Korean propagandist, and Dave is going to interview Kim. They fly to North Korea, are fated, and the CIA have proposed that Dave and Aaron kill Kim using a transdermal strip, which will expose him to ricin via handshakes. Well, when they arrive, Kim initially seems to persuade Dave he's rather a good guy and misunderstood. But when Dave discovers, for example, that the supermarket is stocked with goods that don't, in fact, really exist, when he looks beyond the facade, well, having thwarted Aaron's attempt to poison Kim initially with a handshake, he decides that the very worst is all the North Korean leader deserves. Now, this is a movie that's, I have to say, it's full of belly laughs. It's crude, and I agree totally with those who've been put off by it for that reason. But if you want to land punches, remember Chaplin's Great Dictator on a totally different level. But, I mean, if you want to land punches on a pretty grotesque, on absolutely grotesque regime, well, this is the way to do it. And
do you not think James Bond did it better with Die Another Day in that opening sequence? And he had an invisible car in there as well.
I would say that when you've got a movie like this, if you go at it at this particular level, you can get a hell of a lot to laugh at, and also the facts are that it absolutely infuriated, for reasons that I don't wish to go to in the greatest of detail. As I say, it's pretty scatological, but it infuriated North Korea. After all, this is about assassinating the head of state, and it is a movie where they were so angry that they launched a campaign that was ruthlessly successful in hacking Sony's emails. But my point about the film, and President Obama said that they shouldn't cancel showings. Showings had been cancelled because, as you know, terrorism had been threatened. Well, it's a regime that is a terrorist regime, and this
Richard, it's
the funniest possible way.
It's got James Franco in it. He was the son of the Green Goblin. Need I say any more than the Spider-Man connection is there?
Oh, Green Goblin was a particularly boring villain.
he killed Gwen Stacy! Obviously not played by James Franco. That was a different sort of incarnation of Spider-Man. Please, not another
origin
story.
May I remind you of Knocked Up with Seth Rogen? It's a juice.
You're talking the Shakespearean classics of the 21st century here. You know?
Well, they most certainly are, but the two of them together, they get a hell of a lot of amusing scenes. Well,
but the critical question is, Jessica, will you be going to see the interview? He's not going to stop, is he? He's already had more than his usual allocated share. He's still got... Jessica, will you go and see the interview?
I don't think I'll go right out of my way to see it. Maybe when it comes out on DVD. But I've heard a lot about it, and I've asked my flatmates who are wanting to see it, and I don't know, because obviously there's a lot of controversy, but...
Oh, vast controversy. In fact, it's practically not... Well, hopefully there'll never be another movie where hacking of the sort is perpetrated.
Ah, but was it all just a ruse to hype up the
movie?
Yeah,
could be just drama.
Oh, well, there's always the argument it boosts box office. The facts are, however, that it's been extremely nasty, and it may remain nasty for Sony, because a lot came in about the disparity between the salaries of top male and female actors in Hollywood, views about Angelina Jolie, racist jokes, data protection, laws infringed by material.
It's all very problematic, Richard.
It'll be haunting Sony for years, but this movie is absolutely hilarious in parts.
And would you say it compares favourably with Team America, World Police? Of course, a classic from years past.
Well, I haven't seen it.
Well,
Richard.
I would say that the interview, however, it's not a question of comparing it.
Stands alone.
Itself.
Jared,
and
the interview.
North Korea stands by itself. I mean, the fact is, it's such a...
Well, they won't be listening to this because they're probably banned from listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. If they are, of course, we'd love to actually welcome some North Koreans onto the programme. Yeah, I say that on behalf of some.
Well, I must say, when you look at the Golden Globes, they had North Koreans on stage, did they not?
Yeah, well, exactly. And it's just coming around to sort of evening time over there, about 7 p.m, so good stuff. Over to yourself, Jared, the interview.
I know last week I said I wasn't a fan of movies, but I probably wouldn't go and watch the interview, but certainly Selma. Political biopic. Is
exactly.
Right on my street.
I thought it would be.
Love it.
There we are, sorted. Richard, Jessica's going to ask you the last two questions now. Aren't you, Jessica?
I am.
Go for it.
Richard, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Yes, it's been a lovely and long one.
It has, exactly.
I heard that it was commented.
As the actress said to the bishop, oh, did he really say that? I can't believe it, because they've been coming up. Next question, please.
Will we be hearing from you soon?
Most emphatically.
There you go, post-Academy Awards.